Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 229.
229. Two good guys.
Yes.
Two good guys. The boys are back in town. Well, in two separate towns. I'm back in town.
You're back in town. Boy's back in town. I will only be back in town from Edinburgh. Tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm currently looking at a FaceTime image of Pierre tucked up in bed with a microphone. He's got the blanket up to his chest like he's the female character in a movie, and there's just been a sex scene.
Yeah. And there's that thing where the female character's got it up to their chest, but the guy's got it down to his boy, like, waist.
Yeah, that's it.
And you sort of go, yeah, that's definitely what's comfortable, isn't it? It's what aligns with ratings agencies' suggestions.
Yeah, I always find that right after sort of sex, sort of heaty, hot sex, that suddenly both parties become shy again about their nakedness.
That's a good point. Yeah, suddenly we're seeing them all like, ooh, what's under here?
Yes, I'm back in town. I'm back from Egypt. I'm back from the ancient world.
Yes, you went to go visit the land of the pharaohs.
Yes, I did. Was filming in Egypt for about 2 weeks. I'll tell y'all when the thing we were making is out. It's basically a funny historical thing. Yeah, I think it'll come out real nice. But it was a real adventure, Pierre, going around Egypt. I've never been to Egypt before, and I can now say that I've done the big three ancient civilizations.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been to Rome, I've been to Athens, and now I've ticked off old Egypto.
Egypto. What was it like? Was it, did you see some mad ancient shit?
I saw some really incredible things. I mean, I saw the pyramids from my airplane window, and I wasn't expecting to see them, and they just were there, and I audibly gasped to myself.
Like in a movie.
And you know me, Pierre. I don't express emotion when there are people around.
Yeah.
On my own.
Yes. Yes. You're an emotional masturbator. You don't like to do it in public. It's a thing that you keep to yourself.
That was incredible. I think the thing that moved me the most, though, was I went to the Valley of the Kings outside of Luxor, which is present-day Thebes. And there are 62 tombs in the Valley of the Kings. And went to see the tomb of Ramesses III, which was incredible because all the paint is still preserved because it's all hidden away in darkness. So this is like, and you can go up to the hieroglyphs and the pictures and you can still see the brush strokes. You can see where the bristles
are.
And this, you know, from what, 3,500 years ago. And I got into, and after some wrangling, I got into Tutankhamun's tomb. And I didn't realize that he's...
After some wrangling.
Yeah, it was quite weird. Yeah, the place is set up weirdly, so it's actually really hard to get tickets and stuff. But I got in, and I didn't realize that Tutankhamun is still lying in there. He's the only king who's still in his tomb in the Valley of the Kings.
Did you go, oh God, I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I didn't think there was anyone in here. Sorry. Yeah, I opened the door to the tomb and someone just went, someone's in here. I just heard that voice.
Five more minutes.
I walked in down the steps into his tomb, and then on the left was a clear perspex case, and lying in the case was Tutankhamun. He's lying there.
Did he have a big blanket up to his tits?
Yeah, he literally did. He had it up to his neck. Yeah, really? He had it up to his neck. Yeah, and then down to his ankles. So you could see his head and his feet. And he's just lying there. The same guy. He's been there for 4,000 years, just lying in that room, just like that, just waiting, just lying. His lips are still intact. His face is still intact. Incredible. Unbelievable.
Sexy lips?
It's astonishing.
Sexy lips? Did he have any work done?
Yeah. Yeah, the lips were still surprisingly full.
Mm.
He looks good for his age. 3,500 years. I didn't take any pictures. I took pictures of his tomb, which is sort of the other side of the room. But it felt weird taking pictures of what is essentially still a dead boy.
How much did he look like beef jerky?
I mean, I think at that stage we all look like beef jerky.
There's no judgment here, Phil. I'm not judging the boy for looking like beef jerky.
He's the biltong king.
He's the biltong king. You could still say he looks like a snack. That would be a good old school roast joke. Girl, you look like a snack. Beef jerky.
That's really good.
That'd be good.
That's good. Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
And I got in a hot air balloon on a different day and looked over the Valley of the Kings.
I saw you the on the morning that you put the hot air balloon video up on Instagram. I was simultaneously a bit hungover, but really sort of ill feeling. Like I just felt wrecked. And yeah. Waking up in this kind of like ratty apartment and then looking at you and you're like, ba da doo da 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 doo, like hot air ballooning. Such a funny, like, it was like in a movie where you've made like the good decision or I've gone, you know, I've done the bad decision or alternately you agreed to go with the devil and I didn't. And we're in that midpoint where it seems like I made the wrong choice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Before the balloon falls out of the sky and then... And you like find a pot of gold in a bin or something.
I find a pot of gold under a guy I help.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes.
Something crude like that.
Well, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to catch that bloody balloon.
The night before, were you like, sorry, guys, I can't stay out and party. I got a balloon. I got a balloon in the morning about 4:30.
I've got an early commute to the sky tomorrow.
You got to pause. You got to say, I've got an early commute to the sky. And then sweep your hand across the room, knocking over everyone's drinks. Well, I mean, how was that? It surely feels when you're in it like it shouldn't be staying in the sky.
I was very scared before we got on. And when you turn up, it's a whole field full of balloons that are being filled up. And it's very noisy. All these fans are going off. And these balloons are so big. They look like... Have you seen Nope? The Jordan...
I haven't yet, actually.
It reminded me of the monster in that. There are all these giant sort of squid octopus heads of lying deflated on the ground, slowly filling up. And then once they fill it with air from the fans, they start the flamethrowers up. They just go... And these are all going off a field of them. And it feels like Uruk-hai preparing for a battle or something. It felt like we were getting ready for war. Because it's also like 5 in the morning. So it's like twilight. And all these flames are going off. And all these huge balloons are slowly inflating. And they tower over you. You don't realize how big they are. And I was getting quite scared.
Yeah.
Because you're literally getting into a... It looks like a wicker basket. It's a big basket, but it's like made of plant material.
It's very flammable wicker.
Yes. Yes. And we pile in. And the pilot has... What are the things on the shoulders called? The black and... I think the chevrons go on.
The epaulettes at the top or just epaulette. Or just the things on the sleeve?
Epaulettes. And And that gave me comfort. And he was very good, our pilot, Bakr. And we lifted off. And it's actually not scary at all. Once you start, because it lifts off so slowly, you don't even notice you're going. Because they have to, they're just tipping you over the point where the up thrust is greater than the weight.
Okay.
So there's no sudden movements. It's all very, very gradual. There are some hairy bits where it looks so much like we were just floating into power cables, and the pilot wasn't doing anything. And I was like, should we be doing something about this? But it turns out he's got so much more control than you think, and he'll just suddenly go, and then we'll just lift up over the power cables. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool, and I'm glad I did it because I was very scared. But I'm very scared of everything. I'm very risk averse.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be. I suppose it's scared, but I guess I think risk averse is a better way of putting it, because you'll still do stuff. You just want to make sure that it's got a sensible. Like, if you were scared of heights, you wouldn't have done it.
But I am kind of scared of heights. But it all felt really solid when I got in.
Yeah.
The basket's like quite high up to your boobies and.
Oh, like a sexy blanket.
Good. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I felt like Tutankhamun up in there.
I was gonna say, how upset would you have been to look across at a nearby balloon and see Tutankhamun in the balloon?
In mummy form.
Yeah, he's just there, like looking out, watching, looking at stuff.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. That'd be horrible to see. I'd assume someone got burnt to a crisp by the flamethrowers. And they just decided to continue with the ride anyway.
Just thought, well, I'm up here. They're trying to balloon their way to a hospital.
But no, it's a real adventure, a real good time. I can't wait for y'all to see what we made.
When's it coming out?
I think it'll be good.
When's it coming out?
I think September sometime.
September.
This coming month. Speaking of months, you've just had one.
Oh, baby, we've all had a month up here at the Edinburgh Crunch. yes, the French, the Edinburgh French. I have. It's been a good month, good numbers, good people, good friends. Loads of Koji's, Phil. I can't tell you.
Oh, great. Well, one of the crew in Egypt is a pod bud.
Shout out to
Simon. Yeah, he's a pod bud. Simon, great guy. Great pod bud. Big fan.
Oh, man. Well, hello, Simon. Yeah. Thank you. It's starting to get a bit Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, very Fight Club.
People sort of...
The secret smelly handshake. Koji.
The secret little fart as you pass each other. and a nod. Burp, nod.
And again, Simon, lovely, good-looking guy. Not at all the kind of person I think would listen to this.
Not even a little bit of a shit-covered goblin.
Not at all. Super lovely, super nice guy. Good taste. Very good taste in things as well.
Yeah, I had some Koji's as I sort of brushed past people in a bar and things.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah, it was great. And then so many pod buds came to the show. It's always such a boost. I can't tell. I guess it is just an awkward thing to say a catchphrase to someone, but sometimes they'll say Koji to me on the way out, almost apologetically. As if they're sort of saying like, bless you, Reverend. Thank you.
They say Koji to me without any embarrassment.
Oh, what, they just grab your cheeks and put their face really close to yours and go, Koji!
Maybe because they know I originally hated it. And so there's more thrill in it.
There's a delight.
Yeah, there's delight.
Whereas they know that
a sadistic delight.
Yeah, whereas they know that I see it as a sign of I'm slowly assembling some sort of private army.
Yeah.
But it's been very heartening.
Great. But your show's gone very extremely well. I've seen all the stars.
Why, it's a whole city just full of stars, just for you and me.
A constellation of stars.
Yeah. It's the propaganda war has been won, I think.
And excellent.
I had a very similar fringe to last year where people kept coming up to me and saying, you're having a good fringe. Like something out of Truman Show.
But that's... I think that's very good, especially if it's a comedian saying that, because, you know, it's hard for a comedian to say that to another comedian. And so if they do, they must really mean it.
Yeah, they must mean it slash, like, and or they've heard it enough from other people that they feel compelled to say it to me out of kind of irritation and confirmation. Well, yes. Also, this is a month where everyone is tired and sick of talking, and then if you bump into someone, you just have to say something. So it's quite a good thing to reach for.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, how's it going? You're having a good fringe.
There was a prank I did. Well, a prank I came up with years ago. A very small, just verbal prank I came up with at the fringe years ago that I only ever did once to one person, and I kept trying to remind myself, I need to do that prank more. But it was to go up to someone who had a show at the fringe, and go and look at them and go, "Hey, I've heard really good things about," and then say someone else's show.
That's a great prank.
And there's a second way where he thought I was going to say his show, and then I said someone else's show, and he was like, "Okay, fair enough." That's very funny.
That is so funny.
But I just kept forgetting to do it to a second person. I only did it to one person.
I like the idea of you being in this sort of really forgetful version of Jackass.
I forgot to put the scorpion in my pants yesterday.
It's the guys from Jackass going, I forgot to set that up. Oh, I forgot to buy a big spider.
Is there... I'm hearing that Fringe is back to pre-COVID, like, energies and numbers.
Sort of.
I cannot believe this.
I don't think it's back up to the numbers at all. Because the number of shows is down by, comedy shows anyway, is down by like a third.
Good, good. I hope it stays there. But there are too many.
The audience, I think, in ratio to that should be up on last year.
Right, right. So audience members per show should be up.
Yes, although it's the same number of shows as last year. In fact, it's slightly less again this year.
Good, good.
But
I mean, it's because of unfair reasons.
Yes.
But maybe the ends justify the means.
An interesting thing that's happening, though, Phil, is there are a lot more day trippers.
Oh, coming in from where?
Newcastle, Liverpool, Glasgow, you name it. Because staying overnight in Edinburgh is the big expense.
Yeah, yeah.
The shows cost what they cost. They have always cost, really. They don't really go up in price unfairly in its own way. The food and drink is a rip-off of a standard amount of rip-off. It's just the bit where you want to try and sleep near the fun that the landlords of Edinburgh will piss directly into your open eyes.
Yeah.
And the hotels are no better, and Airbnb's even worse.
It's shameful. It's shameful.
But yeah, so people would come up from Newcastle, see a few shows, have a beer, get back down on the train. Then that's why it was like, at like 5-6 o'clock, it's really busy. You go, oh, okay. And then around like 9-10, it's all just goes whoop.
Oh, interesting.
It's no late night busyness in the same way as there used to be back before the war.
Interesting.
Interesting. That is a horrible voice and face combo.
well done, Pierre. Congratulations on a good month.
I think Phil, you missed out on Slurpees.
Oh, my noodle awards, my East Asian food awards.
So many, from what I can tell, new East Asian restaurants around.
Well, they'll be there next year.
Maybe I'll not.
Bring the Slurpees back next year.
You'll have to pop up for a week, and instead of doing shows, just, or even seeing them, just constantly gorging on East Asian fusion cuisine.
I am missing East Asian food. I got Korean takeaway yesterday to my house, and it was so nice. Because the food in Egypt is...
Is a poo. Is a poo pants.
It's Middle Eastern food. It's Eastern Mediterranean food. It's charred meats And flatbreads.
And hummus.
And mushed chickpeas and mushed aubergines. It's kind of, you know,
yeah.
You've had it before. The one uniquely Egyptian dish that I was aware of is something called koshari, which is, get this, it's fried rice, not in the Asian style, just a fried rice with chickpeas on top and beans, I think, and then pasta, and then like a little tomato sauce.
Wow.
So it's rice and pasta.
No.
Put together.
Yes. I thought the British were the only people bold enough to do rice and pasta.
No, the Egyptians are all over it.
So it's tomato sauce, rice, and pasta.
Yeah, that's sort of the national dish.
Gosh.
That and stuffed pigeon.
Get out of town.
Stuffed pigeon. I had a stuffed pigeon. They stuffed it full of rice, and there wasn't very much meat on that pigeon, I got to say. There's a reason we eat the meats we eat, Pierre.
There's a reason we eat the meats that we eat, from the top of our toes to the head to the top of our feet.
From the top of our toes to the top of our feet.
Yeah.
Not long distance.
No, I just like eating ham hock, I suppose.
Yeah, so the food wasn't great.
Did you try the pasta rice thing?
No, I never got,
There was never a day where you thought, I think I'd like to spend the day the most bloated and full I've ever been in my life. If you'd had a big bowl of that before you got in the hot air balloon, you could have been supplying the gas up into the fucking thing above you. It's a huge thing of beans and pasta and rice. That is insane. Wow. I can't wait to have a completely sanitized small plates version of it at some point.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, not amazing food. It was incredibly hot. It's the hottest I've ever been. We had to call shooting off one day in Egypt. We were meant to shoot in the desert, and we got there, and I think the temperature was like 48 degrees Celsius.
Get fucked.
You get out of the air conditioned bus, and instantly felt like your head was being microwaved. You like your head was hot, but the heat was somehow coming from like the middle of your brain. It was so hot. It's like someone had a big hairdryer and was just going. It was insane. I've never felt heat like it. It was. I posted a video of me dancing around.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. That was sort of delirium. The local crew were outside dancing to music, and I went out to check out the heat. People were leaving the bus like it was a theme park ride, going, I want to try. And we'd leave the bus and you'd just be like, whew. And I was just instantly delirious with heat. And I started dancing with the crew.
They were dancing?
They were just dancing out there.
Or just to kind of show you that they could deal with the heat, or just of their own volition, or...
I think it was delirium, honestly. And they could deal with it a bit better than the rest of us, for sure.
45. That is horrific. 48,
45.
48,
yeah,
45.
It was wild. When, on the flight back, the captain's like, we are expecting 15 degrees Celsius upon arrival at Heathrow. And when he said 15 degrees Celsius, I was... Jerusalem. I was so thrilled. Just Elgar playing through my head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just, yeah. You started singing the whole of sort of various Gilbert and Sullivan tunes, and the air hostess came down the aisle and handed everyone a jellied eel and a pork pie.
It was so hot, man. Like, people's phones were just turning off. They couldn't handle the heat. And
fuck off.
And, like, I tried to wipe my glasses. I tried to go on my glasses, and just there would be no condensation because, like, it's just re-vaporizing between my mouth and the glasses.
Oh, my God.
It was so hot.
That is fucked.
It's the hottest I've ever been in my life. And I grew up in Malaysia. It was hot.
And it was hot and still dry, which means it's easier to deal with. So for it to be dry heat, that is intolerable. That is hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Real hot.
Did you cook an egg on a car bonnet or anything?
We realized we should have tried that, but we didn't have an egg on us. We didn't have an egg.
You start patting your pockets. Oh, I forgot my egg.
Oh, no. I'll put my egg in my other pants.
Such a bad prankster. I forgot my egg.
God damn it. I learned a bit of Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
No is la. So if you're like, no, you go la 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 la. Very like, I love that a lot.
Like you put your fingers in your ears.
Yeah, exactly. La 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 la. I like that a lot. Shukran, la shukrans, mm-hmm. Which is just thank you. A phrase I learned which I like really like is sebni lawahdi, which means leave me alone.
A lot of the Egyptian Arabic people seem to learn when they go is to do with not wanting to buy things.
Yes, I mean, I think that's what you need to learn when you go anywhere with sort of people bothering you to buy souvenirs. It's just la 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 sebni lawahdi. All this other thing. That's what you need to learn.
And I have been once to Egypt, but it was a long time ago. From memory, you do have to be pretty clear to not be bothered. Leave me alone sounds quite aggressive to a British person, but it's the bare minimum that's necessary to end the interaction, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are, people speak plainly out there for sure. You when you're somewhere like Egypt, you realize just how British our attitude of maybe later, not sorry right now, I don't really have any because you go maybe later and they'll go, oh, all right, they take you out of your word, they're like, okay, I'll come back, it'll be later,
yeah, oh
okay.
Great, oh, I'd love to come back later, and then you go no, yeah. no
yeah,
yeah, exactly, no one says what they mean here, Phil. Maybe that's the best place for an autistic person is just to move to Egypt.
In the Valley of the Kings, I was chatting to an Egyptologist walking through the valley. And then I looked down and I was like, oh, there's a sort of little bit of hose, a little cable on the ground. And then the cable was moving. I was like, oh, that's a snake. And this snake was just going, it's like golden, the little dark spots on it. And I was like, I was pointing at it, and everyone started going, and the cameraman were filming it, obviously. And this thing was like slithering along the gravel, and at one point, like, got its head up and was looking at the camera, and got its head back down, and it slithered away to a corner where all these tourists were, like a little sheltered hut bit with an information panel, and people were like, like running out of the way, and it slithered into the corner, and our. Our security, who was this unit, the crew called him Beefcake. He was just like this very quiet, absolutely stacked security guard who came with us everywhere. And he beat it to death with a stick.
No.
He killed it. And obviously, I'm with Brits and they're going... Oh, why did he have to kill? Apparently, there's an Australian. There were Australians there who were like, "In Australia, we look after the snakes." They're like getting annoyed with him. But then I found out later that basically all snakes in Egypt are extremely venomous.
Yeah.
And I mean, this thing was getting up, like looking at us like cobras. I think it was a young Egyptian cobra. And I was going through this class. I was like, obviously, these fucking Brits are going, oh, why didn't he have to kill? Oh. It's like, dude, that thing was it'll kill you.
Yeah, it's not a fucking hedgehog. He didn't stamp Mrs. Tiggywinkle to death.
I just couldn't believe it. I can't believe this British sensibility, man. Even out there in the desert, in the Valley of Kings, you don't even know what snakes are. And you're like, oh, why didn't he just let it go? Go where? There's like people all everywhere. It was hiding in a rock by like an information center where people are going to go and sit down and wait around.
There'll be kids walking around.
Just leave it there. I can't believe this, man. I can't believe these people.
No, it's because they are the descendants of the people who wiped out the dangerous animals where they're from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They just, every single animal in the UK is a type of toy. A type of toy or a type of food.
It was just funny, after the complaint, I looked up snakes in Egypt, and like every result was just like, every snake in Egypt will kill you.
Just every single result comes with a big sort of flashing skull next to it. Did any of them change their minds once you mentioned that it was the deadliest fucking thing?
No, I know these people are beyond help. It's a religion. Animals, like loving animals, is a British religion. You can't talk people out of it.
Yeah, that's true, and they won't. They won't be affected by practicality because they've never had to be practical with animals. The exception is farmers.
Yes.
They're the only ones who'd just be like, if there was a guy there chewing straw with big boots on, he would go, "We think he did a grand job. I'm glad he stamped on its head." Some old Dorset farmer.
I guess in the defense, it's always something like, the snake was, you know, it was scared. It was, where is this? It was in an area with a lot of people. It got into an area with a lot of people. And I'm like, well, it's a bad snake then. All the other snakes have learned to stay away from the Band of the Kings. This has been a tourist destination for, 100 years? It's a bad snake, if it's not figured this out.
We're in its home. Yeah, not really.
Not really. These tombs have been here longer. Old Tut has been here a lot longer than this snake, I gotta say.
That's true. Old Tut's there. Tutting. Because you're not killing the fucking snakes.
Yeah. Anyway, every day was an adventure. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it sounds it. It'll be exciting when it comes out. Shall we quickly do some correspondence?
Yes, yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Correspondence.
My laptop's running out of battery because I don't plan for the future.
Let's read some letters. Let's make them feel real nice. Let's run our eyes along the patterns that they've put on to their emails. Otherwise known as letters and words.
So Matt Atkinson has sent some tat. I'm choosing these emails a bit randomly.
Matt Atkinson.
So it's completely classic tat here, Phil. Let's see if you can whisper it.
Okay.
This kitchen is blank with blank.
This kitchen is blessed with love.
Love is correct.
Oy, 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 oy. This kitchen is built with love.
No.
Decorated with love.
Oh, think more kitcheny.
Ah, with. Scented with love. Spiced with love. No, oh, seasoned with love.
Caesar. Oy, 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 oy. Seasoned, baby. The kitchen Thank is you. Seasoned with love.
Thank you. You don't season a kitchen, but fine.
No, what does that mean?
Well, it means that there's someone's sprinkling love all over the kitchen, like putting it in the grinder and just...
Or is it like you get some love, you know, a lovely big wet kilogram of love.
fresh from the butchers.
Yeah, fresh butcher's love.
Yeah.
Which should be funny. That's a funny name for a show. I'm at that stage of the fringe where everything sounds like a funny name for a show. You get some fresh butcher's love. You dry it out. You Tutankhamun it. And then you take it and put it in a blender. And you blend it up. It gets all powdery. And then you put it in a sort of firework or a bomb in the center of the kitchen and just... Blah! And now there's love everywhere.
Oh, no. There's love everywhere. Wiping it off your hands.
Yeah, and then sort of like going... Ah, because there's love in your eyes, love powder, and it really stings. It's so spicy.
Yeah, you zoom in on a microscopic level, and all the pointy bits of love hearts are like poking into your eyeball. Like,
exactly. What does that mean? We have a nice home. We have a nice home. Is that all it means?
I guess so. I guess that's what all these things are.
Okay, Simon gets in touch.
Simon! Is it Simon from the shoot? It might be.
Mm-hmm.
Simon from the crew.
Oh, Simon. Maybe.
Simon B. Skyven. From what he's meant to be doing in order to write
Simon,
to
us. Simon B. Skyven. Is that what your friend on the crew said whenever he had a little rest?
Yeah. Oh, Simon B. Skyven.
He'd flash a gang sign and say, Simon B. Skyven. Simon says, afternoon, smellers.
Smellers. Oh, instead of fellas.
Yeah,
that's good.
I just came across this mental ad for a hentai game on The Guardian.
What? So hentai is anime porn?
Yes, it's sort of sexy Japanese cartoon stuff.
And, so an ad for a hentai game is on The Guardian website.
Yeah, and I'm just going to plug in my charger. Because I have phone. Oh my god. Hey, you know how a modern flat would have more than two plugs per room, Phil?
Not here.
So, I just came across this mental ad for a hentai game on The Guardian.
Crackers. Absolutely
CC attached. Assuming some poor incel actually clicks on this abomination, are we to believe that even in this fantasy world, that's in capitals... Oh, he starts addressing the content of the ad. I'll just tell you what it is. So, because it's The Guardian, it's quite a horrible contrast to have a hentai game advert underneath some very worthy content. So, do you want to hear the worthy content that is just above it first?
Please.
It is a sort of letter or an opinion piece by an article by someone called Shadi Khan Saif. And it says, let me explain, my dear son, why I left you in Afghanistan. Hang in there, I have not given up.
Blimey, okay.
So it's an Afghan refugee fleeing Afghanistan story.
Yes.
And then right underneath it is, it's a Japanese cartoon lady with huge norks, Phil. Enormous breasts, I'm saying. Okay? And she's sort of looking up at the reader concerned, like... And she's saying, I'll go on top if you can't.
No, what?
She's got huge norks and she's in a kind of like, sort of like a robe? I'll hold it up to the camera. What is that?
Oh, Jeebus. It's a, I'd say that's a blouse.
Yeah. Sort of loose Japanese style blouse. And it's some sort of comic strip hentai, but it's very It makes it seem like the guy left his son in Afghanistan because he needed to get to the West to play hentai games. It looks like that's the title. And he's going, let me explain why I left you in Afghanistan.
Oh, no, and that's the reason.
Look at this. Look at this, son. I knew you'd get it.
Oh my
Look
God.
At those cartoon breasts. I knew you'd understand why I had to flee.
I just had no choice. I had no choice.
This is too haram. This is too haram for Afghanistan. I had to flee so that I could have access to this. You'll understand when you're older, son. I swear you'll understand. When you're 16, you'll do the same, my son. Why is The Guardian at a point where it needs money from porn?
Well, I don't know how these things work. They just sign up to a sort of general package service.
Yeah, but you think they'd untick the option for massive cartoon
Yeah, this
bangers.
Is it. This is what I think. Surely you have enough control where you can go, yeah, but we don't want the hentai game adverts underneath the stories about refugees, maybe.
Do you think they said, we don't want the hentai game adverts, and the provider went, oh, okay, I'll just type that in, and let's see what your revenue comes to now. That's £2 a month, but with the hentai, it's about 10,000. And they just went, ah. I guess people who read The Guardian love the liberal paper of record and hentai. Oh, well.
Well, it is like, it is sort of foreign art, I guess, in a way.
Oh, that's true.
Guardian readers are all about that shit.
That's true. They go, oh, it's actually very interesting.
It's very world old. Porn.
I would love a genre called world porn, and the music is really sort of like bongos and fucking accordions and too many different instruments at once, like a rainmaker. Someone's playing a rainmaker during a porno. A lot of sort of like Algerian synth music is playing. Anyway, so Simon addresses the insane advert. He says, assuming some poor incel actually clicks on this abomination, are we to believe that even in this fantasy world, the player is in such a sorry physical state that they are unable to go on top?
Yeah, surely you're living your fantasy, right? This is your fantasy, your fantasy woman. It's a Japanese anime girl with enormous breasts and your issue is like, I'm a bit tired to go on top.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can be bothered to go on top of my ideal woman. Presumably.
I want the cartoon to fuck me. I don't want to fuck a cartoon. That's childish.
I have overcome the laws of physics and logic to be able to literally have sex with an animated ideal woman. But I'm just a bit knackered, actually. I think I'd like to, I can't really be bothered. Can you go on top?
It's insane. So Simon makes a good point. He says, perhaps the protagonist is so used to being sedentary.
Ah, yes.
That being they, who are we kidding, he, can't even fathom being able to support his own weight.
Oh, God.
He's like so fat and knackered from Mountain Dew and nachos and sitting in a big chair that the lady just has to do her best on him. I think that's probably right.
That's probably it. I reckon that's it.
Simon says, anyway, very much enjoyed your second live show at the Leicester Square Theatre. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre again on the 23rd of November. Brackets, says Pierre. Very much enjoyed your second live show at the Leicester Square Theatre and all of the sweet, sweet eye contact I received from Philip.
Oh, did I give a lot of eye contact?
Apparently.
Wow.
Pierre, unfortunately, I was sat in such a way that I was unable to intrude on your gaze. Until next time.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
I guess because we're sort of facing each other, our cones of vision would have sort of crossed.
Yeah. So he was at the other end of your cone cross.
Yeah. He was in my cone.
He was in your cone.
I coned
Someone else
him
was
good.
In my cone. Yeah.
I coned him hard.
He says, thanks for all the pooey pudding. No, pooey podding. I thought he said pooey pudding.
Pooey pudding.
Ugh. It says something that I was happy with that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, the pooey pudding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lovely treat, but also pooey. Thanks for all the pooey podding. Yours stankfully.
Oh, I love it. Many stanks.
Many stanks, Simon.
Thank you very much.
Kind refarts, Simon.
Nice, lovely. A lovely collection of sign-offs there.
A lovely collection of sign-offs.
Simon sign-offs.
Simon sign-off.
We have 1 minute.
We have 1 minute. What should we say in 1 minute? Thank you for listening. I think we'll record. Should we record the bonus part closer to the time?
Yeah, let's try that if we can. Although I'm away in Sweden. If you're in Sweden this weekend, I'm at the Lund Comedy Festival.
Lund?
So come along to that. Otherwise, I am touring again here, back home, in September to October. So go on my website. Look at my dates. Come see me live.
Lund's Comedy Festival Theater.
And then I'm in Australia, November, doing shows. So come to that.
Oh, boy.
Check that out.
Oh, boy.
Go to my website.
It's Global Phil.
Global Phil. Getting his fill. All right, guys. All right, then, guys. Lovely to speak to you. Good to be back home.
Okay. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much for coming to my Fringe show, if you did. If you're coming to see me on tour, the tour is the last show. I'll be touring this Fringe show at some point next year.
It's Staggered Novelli. It's classic Staggered Novelli.
Yep. Exactly right.
Much love. See Patreons on Friday. Otherwise, see you guys another time. Bye-bye. Much love.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.